Gotcha.
Cut a stove.
Oh, cut a stove.
Hi, cut a stove.
Hi.
Cut a stove.
Hey, Hanukkah.
How you
Happy
doing?
Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah.
We're all well.
Yes.
At least I
Thank
think
you.
we're all well.
Yes, well, I am.
I'm well too.
Thank
Well,
you.
we can get started then. We have two of you at least. Tonight is Rosh Chodesh for the month of Tevet. And on our Rosh Chodesh events, we just start with a verse from the Zohar. And we'll do the Anabakoa later in the program, in the class. So we're going to start with Zohar and Vayigash, section 1, second pasuk. Translation of this verse from the Zohar. All was created through the medium of the Torah and constructed by means of the Torah. And as the Torah begins with the letter Bet, so was the world created with the letter Bet. For before the Holy One, blessed be He, created the world, the Nukva, all the letters were presented before Him one by one in reverse order. My commentary is pleased to read section 6 of the prologue. Learn about the Hebrew letters from our classes on the Hashem website. And we are presently in the series of classes on the Hebrew letters. And that class will be tomorrow at 1 p.m. West Coast time. It will be on Rosh Chodesh Day, Sunday, at 1 p.m. Does anybody have any questions? The month of Tevet sounds like it's cognate to the Hebrew word Tov. Tovet, Tevet, Tovet. Its shorish comes from the word Tov, and Tov in Hebrew means good. the energy of Tevet was originally supposed to be good. Mashiach was supposed to be either be born in Tevet or manifest in Tevet. And Tevet was going to relate to the essence of Mashiach. And Tevet at that time was in good condition. But the Zohar comes and explains to us that Tevet is actually, now in our life, one of the three most negative months of the year. The other two negative months are Tammuz and Leo. Now, what happened is truly unknown. It's not that it's unknown, it's just that Hashem constantly cares about not embarrassing someone. And so one of the leaders of the tribe did an action, and that action would embarrass him, because that action caused the energy of Mashiach to be transferred from the month of Tevet to the month of Shvat. And we'll discuss more of that next when we talk about the month of Shvat. We learn that the ancient Hebrew mindset and the mindset of the world when Mashiach manifests was in the past, is now, and will be, that good condition means everything as it is supposed to be. Therefore, even our world, that if it is painful, is good. What is the purpose of that pain? Is cleansing. So if we consider the world painful or uncomfortable, it is a necessary condition to reach completion, which is ultimately what we all want, that everything be good. But we have the choice of seeing everything good now. The attribute in Tevet is agitation. The Hebrew word is rogez. Most of us get agitated, and then we start to become angry. And that is part of the energy of Tevet. It's why it's considered one of the three most negative months. But actually, the reason it's considered negative is because the Shekhinah is not active. It's not protecting us during the month of Tevet. The energy of Tevet is the energy of Mashiach. And the energy of Mashiach, while it is balanced in the central column, is also extremely intense. And so we become agitated because the energy seems to be overwhelming. The best way to handle the energy of Tevet is becoming aware of our potential to fall into anger and stop that fall. Not allowing it to manifest, not allowing anger to manifest in our emotions and in our life during Tevet. Remember, the only reason we get angry is because our ego becomes hurt. And once we realize that our ego is becoming hurt, we don't have to get angry, because we can perceive that everything is good because our ego is being lessened. The result of that is our spiritual growth will take place when we stop ourselves from getting angry. The ancient tribal connection, as we didn't mention, the leader of the tribe of God, Gimel Dalet, that leader caused the energy of Mashiach to be moved from Tibet to Shvat. So let's learn more about God. God has the meaning of a coriander, wormwood, or a bitter herb. There is a midrash that teaches that the Mashiach manifestation was moved to the month of Shvat due to the mistake that the son of Jacob, named God, performed. The action is not identified, and no one knows about until the resurrection of the dead when we'll be able to ask God Ben Jacob. We'll be able to ask him what he did, and then he will tell us. But until then, there's really no need for us to know, because it's not something that can be corrected by us. There is a possibility that the mistake relates to the period of Shovavim, which we will discuss below, because Shovavim always starts in the month of Tevet. We'll explain Shovavim below. The modern tribal connection, and there is a difference between the ancient tribal connections and the modern ones, is Asher. And Asher means happiness. Jacob's wife Leah named the child from the surrogate mother Zilpah, from her handmaid, happy, or Asher. Yet it is a bittersweet happiness, since she was unable to bear the child herself, as she would have liked. She was happy to provide Jacob a fifth son, yet she would have preferred if that would have happened with her as the birth mother. But ultimately, happiness is happiness. There can be greater amounts, but there's no reason to be unhappy that you don't have all of the happiness you want. And that's a lesson that can be learned in the month of Tov, the month of Tevet. The totem, the tribal totem, is the olive tree, the Elan Zayit. In the previous generations, olives produced oil, and oil is connected to the Sefirah of wisdom, or Chachma. And the word for tree, Elan, that is being used is significant in that its gematria is 91, which shows the potential unity of the physical world with the spiritual world. Elan. There are two words for tree in Hebrew. Etz, as in Etz Chaim, the tree of life, or the Etz Hadat Tov V'ra, the tree of knowledge, good and evil, and Ilan. There has to be a reason for those two different words. Some people speak in terms of the Etz is a tree that has fruit, and the Elan is a evergreen tree. But that really has not been clarified, and so I am unaware of the reason for the two different words. But when it comes to an olive tree, which does bear fruit, In this particular case, it's called Elan Zayit. And the reason is because of the gematria of the Hebrew word Elan. If you look at the word itself, it has a name of God, Aleph Lamed, and then a yud at the end of that, and then what makes it the noun is the nun at the end. The stone that's used in the month of Tibet, the stone that people relate to, the stone that is on the breastplate of the high priest, the Kohen Gadol, is the Tarshish, the barrel. Tarshish is the location that the prophet Yonah was going to go to when he was running away from his job that Hashem had given him. There is a little-known connection between Nineveh, where Hashem sent him, and Tarshish, where he wanted to go. The gematria of Nineveh is 121. The gematria of Tarshish is 1210. Jonah was not running away from his work as a prophet. He wanted to shorten the process of his work by completing the 10 sefirot of his work. With this information, we can begin to understand the true energy of Tibet, which was discussed below. The tribal herb is kilufa, the aromatic bark. Kalufa permutates to words that translate as "here is my voice." This is a significant aspect of the energy of Tibet, being cognate to the word tov or good, because the idea of hearing these two words, tov and Tibet, they sound similar, which is the voice. The zodiac sign is a very interesting sign. It is a goat, Gedi. The goat is called Capricorn. The goat is connected to judgment, but also to sweetening judgment. And I'm sure that is what God, the son of Jacob, was trying to do with his action. Because after all, he was a righteous person. And one of the things we learn in Kabbalah is that righteous people struggle and strive to cleanse the negativity so that they can sweeten judgment and bring Hashem into the world, into their life. The direction of Tibet, the tribal direction, it's Safon, meaning north, as well as it means.
Did we get disconnected? Hello? Hello? Is anybody there?
I got disconnected.
Okay.
So he did too?
Yeah, he got disconnected for a long second.
I'm sorry, I was disconnected, so I'm back.
All right, I'm going to mute again because I got disconnected too.
Well, I was talking about the essence of the month of Tibet. And I keep mentioning that it's cognate to the word Tov. So Tibet is good, but only if your vessel can handle the energy of Tibet. And as we mentioned already, and we'll mention probably a few more times, the Shekhinah, the protection shield, in the month of Tibet is not active. So you have to have the vessel to handle the energy to be able to call Tibet good. When you don't have the vessel to handle the energy, it won't feel good. You'll wonder what's going on. It is one of the darkest, if not the darkest, month of the year. That means the days are the shortest they will ever be. Typically, the winter solstice starts with the first day of Tibet. The only time that doesn't happen in years where the years that are called leap years, where there's an extra month added, that we are striving to keep the holiday of Pesach in the spring. But the month of Tibet is related very closely to the Sephirah of Malchut, meaning it has no light of its own. It receives light from all of the nine higher Sephirot. And that's the abundance of light in the middle of the cold, dark winter. That is why the holiday of lights, the holiday of Hanukkah, crosses over from Kislev to Tibet. But typically, for most people, the excess energy in Tibet is going to cause you to become raging, angry, upset, unless you choose to control it through binding by striking. I recommend that you connect to the classes on binding by striking. And we will be, this coming Thursday, be giving a first class in binding by striking to the Atlanta group of people. So please join us this coming Thursday at 7 p.m. West Coast time. I'm sorry, that would be 7 p.m. Eastern time, so it's 4 p.m. West Coast time. We'll be studying the first class in binding by striking, followed by the second class the following week. But I will also mention that we are also going to be introducing additional information about binding by striking in this class that I have never spoken of before. And that's to explain a little bit more about what is the evil inclination and the good inclination and how they work together as a pair. During Tibet, you are going to be exposed to situations that will cause a reactive response to become angry. It is also a good month to learn to control your angry responses. Remember this spiritual tool. Acting out anger is different and more severe than feeling anger. One method to release anger is to understand the cause of why you feel this anger. Frequently, anger surfaces in response to an incident which is not truly the source of your anger. It is important to delve into the source of your anger without acting out your anger. Let's discuss how dangerous anger is spiritually. Rabbi Isaac Luria, the foremost Kabbalist of the last 600 years, teaches that when one allows themselves to get angry, their neshama, their higher level soul, leaves their body and is replaced by a neshama from the other side. What does this mean on a practical level? It means that you are not yourself when you are angry. It means that whatever actions you take, you get the pain of, you get the result of, you get the effect of. But it's not you, it's that foreign neshama, the neshama from the other side. So you have the effect that you didn't cause, except you did cause it, because by getting angry, you left and caused that to happen. Please mute your phone by pressing *6. I'm getting the static, and if that doesn't work, I'll have to do it for everyone. In other words, the world will see you do a negative action, and that cause will return to you as chaos. Ultimately, when you get angry, you give yourself over to the negative side. This is why our sages teach that anger is idol worship. The months that are connected, each month is connected to the Tetragrammaton, one of the 12 permutations. The permutation that connects to the month of Tevet is He Yo He Wa. He Yud He Vav. But it also has some amazing letters that created the month of Tevet. One letter is the letter Bet that created the planet Saturn, Shabtai. And the other letter is the letter Ayin, which means your eye. And the Ayin creates the constellation Gedi, the goat. Ayin and Bet together have a gematria of 72. And 72, as we know, relates to the essence of wisdom, the essence of Chachma, the Sefirah of Chachma. Ayin and Bet means two eyes. Why do you have two eyes? Science gives the explanation that you see better, that you can combine the two different visions of the two eyes, so that you see in a more clear way. There are spiritual reasons behind why you need two eyes to see clearly. But what does it mean to see clearly? It's something that you need to contemplate to help you understand how you avoid falling into anger Because if you see that the item that's making you angry isn't coming at you, but it's because your ego got hurt, that's clear vision. The holidays in Tibet, there aren't any, and yet there are. So let me explain. Tonight is Rosh Chodesh Bet for the month of Tibet. The month of Hanukkah completes itself on the second day of Tibet. It is called Zot Hanukkah, which translates as, this is Hanukkah. The other 7 days are not Hanukkah? Of course they are. But they're not complete. They're not perfect. The proper light is not in the proper vessel at the proper time. Only at the second day of Tibet do we get all of the proper lights completed in the proper vessels. So there is a holiday in Tibet, but it's really coming out of Kislev. It's coming out of the previous month. It's not its own holiday. Now, what other energy days are there in Tibet? There's a fast day on the 10th of Tibet. Actually, that fast day happened on the 8th day. The 8th of Tibet is a high energy day. And let me explain. Many Haredi Orthodox people fast on the 8th day. This is the day that the Egyptian viceroy received the 70 different translations of the Torah into Greek. That Egyptian viceroy was really the head of the Egyptian section of Alexander the Great's splitting of his empire into four different parts. Egypt was one of those parts. Syria was a second of those parts. And then there are two others. But Egypt and Syria were constantly at war, constantly fighting with each other, trying to get more and greater power. And what were they really fighting about? Who would control the land of Israel? But the Egyptian viceroy, the head of the Egyptian section of Alexander the Great's empire, took, some say, the members of the Sanhedrin, some say 70 sages, probably the same people. And he put them in 70 different locations, some say caves, some say houses. And he told them, translate it into Greek. And there was a tradition to never translate the Torah into any other language but Hebrew. But under threat of death, these sages translated the call of the Torah into 70 different translations. Now, why did he have it done 70 different times? To explain, we have to understand that he didn't trust these sages to translate it accurately. So he wanted to compare the two, or the 70, to see that it was accurate. And the 70 sages who had no connection on the physical level with each other made 15 errors in the translation. They really weren't errors. They were translations that would be misunderstood by the 70 nations. I'll give you an example, because one of the 15 is the first verse. Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim ve'et ha'aretz. The first three words, Bereshit bara Elohim. If you translate that as it reads, you would say, in a beginning, creates God. In a beginning, creates Elohim. Therefore, the idea of in a beginning is an entity, a consciousness that created God. If that was translated in that way, it's clearly a mistake to understand the Torah that way. Yet many people do, because another way of saying that is that man creates God in his own image, not the other way around, that God creates man in his own image. And you can see why the tradition said not to translate. But even so, these 70 sages all translated these 15 different areas of the Torah in the same way. As you can see, there is much to learn from the history, because the history is where you will find Hashem concealing himself for us to find him. As I'm explaining to you, that is one of the reasons. So on the eighth day, many Orthodox people will fast rather than the tenth day, which is defined by the rabbis in the Talmud as the day to fast. Now, the 10th of Tevet is a public fast day ordained by the rabbis in the Talmud. And historically, it is when the walls of Jerusalem were breached in both temples. And the sages teach that the purpose of this fast is not to mourn the temple's loss, but to mourn the ability of the nation to share the light of Hashem with the other nations. Please reread that. Please hear that again. We're not fasting to mourn the temple's loss, not even on Tisha B'Av. We're fasting because we can no longer share completely the light of Hashem with the other nations, because we need the temple, Hashem's home, Hashem's house, to do that. Our job as the children of Israel is to be a light to the other nations, meaning through our actions show that there is only one God, one Hashem. And we have been successful with that because of the three major religions. More than half of the world's population follow those three major religions. The children of Israel, the Christianity, and the Muslim religion, Islam. So we have been successful, but not completely, because it's only about half of the world who knows that there is only one God. There is only about half of the world who does not worship other gods. Now, this year, the day after Christmas, the night of the, I should say, the 26th of December, is a period that starts a holiday. It's not a holiday. It's an energy period of 6 weeks, and in years that are a leap year, it's an 8 week long period. That by taking the first letter of those six parashiot, six parsh portions, spell the word Shovavim. And thus the period of Shovavim starts with the reading of Shmot, the first letter of Shovavim, a shin. So what is Shovavim? What is Shmot's portion? What is going on there? The sages explain that these six portions are a period that we can use the energy of these six parashiot to cleanse ourselves, to do teshuvah in the area of the sefirah of yesod, in the area of creativity, in the area of sexuality. Now we are going to connect to the Yad HaKoach as we do every year, every month. So I'm going to ask you to join me and remember the first verse is connected to the month of Tevet. Why? Because Tevet is goodness. Tevet is coming from our ability to control our anger. Tevet is a very useful tool. But it's also very difficult. And we can overcome that difficulty with what we're about to do in the Yad HaKoach. So please join me in the Yad HaKoach. Yad HaKoach, Gedulat Shemincha, Tati, Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Yud, Tav, Tzadi. The gematria of these six letters is 506, the same as the phrase Ahavat Hinam, unconditional love, the same as the name of God, Bav Shin Resh, that connects to the memories that we can utilize to do Teshuvah. Spiritual memories. The letters of the month of Tevet, the Ayin, that created the constellation, Gedi, the goat, and the Bet, that created the planet Shabtai, the planet Saturn. Ayin and Bet connects to the name of 72, the Tetragrammaton, when spelled out with Yuds. 72. The 72 names of God. We can make connection to that. During this night, we're going to take a moment to connect to the two sets of the 72 names. Now, normally we would do that after the seventh verse. But on Rosh Chodesh Tevet, the energy is such to support our connection to the 72 names. So please take a moment to scan the 72 names of God. If you have it connected, you've made it, or you've asked me to make it, and I've had the time to make it, your own name, that is the best way to scan the 72 names, by intertwining them with your own name. You can find that page on the Yeshem website for all of the names that I have done. If you want your name to do, I have a long list to do it. I haven't had time, but I'll add your name to that list and do it as quickly as I can get it done. But scan that name. And I also recommend that you feel silly and move your lips like you're pronouncing the name. And if you do this at home, because I'm not going to take the time to do it now, but say the name by saying the name of the letter with its root vowel. And I will just do the first name of my own name. So that first box on the right top row, Hey, wa, nu, hey, wa, wa, ha. And scan the 72 names from the Tzaddikim, which is also positive. There are many different ways to permutate the 72 names, the three-letter combinations. Do so. But the only two that we know from the sages are positive are these two sets, the 72 names of God and the 72 names from the Tzaddikim. And when you're by yourself, permutate that, those two sets of names with your own name, intertwine them, which is essentially taking these attributes of God and bringing them into your soul. Kabel rinat amcha sagbeinu kaharenu nora kufrei shayin sintet nun. These six letters spell two Hebrew words, kra, which means tear up, satan. That's the name of the negative force that gives us free will. We can permute those six letters to spell sha'ar katan, which translates as small gates, and it reminds us to guard our gates, our eyes, ears, nose, and mouth. Na gibor dor sheyehudcha kivavat shamrem. Nun gimel dalet, yud kaf shin. Nun gimel dalet has a gematria of 57, which is the Hebrew word zan, which means parnasah. Yud kaf shin is a healing sequence that allows us to take any part of our body that needs healing back to its stem cell state, where it can be cleansed, where it can be healed, where it can be rejuvenated, and then returning it to the body where it will again do its job as it was created to do perfectly. Bahen Taharen Rachamei Siddkarcha Tamid Gamlein Betzet Reish Saritav Kimmel. This sequence connects us to the Sefirah of Netzach, which means eternal victory. Chasin Kadosh Berotucha Na'el Adata Petkufbet Tetunayan. This sequence connects us to the Sefirah Hod and its translation, its essence of appreciation and thankfulness. Yahid Geyeh Lamcha Pene Zofre Kedushata Yud Gimelamet Pe Zayin Kuf. This sequence connects us to the Sefirah of Yesod, which is creativity, which is sexuality, which is the spine, the structure of the body. Shavatenu Kabel Ushmatiakatenu Yodea Talumot Shin Kufav Tzadiyata. The first two letters, Shin and Kuf, connect to the number 400 through their gematria. 400 is four worlds times 10 sephirot within 10 sephirot. The last four letters have the gematria of 506, like the first verse, and connect to the energy of Ahavat Hinam, unconditional love. And we learn from this that the path to completion is by injecting unconditional love in every step of our lives and our processes. We're going to read these seven verses that we read every day, and then we're going to follow it by the permutation of the Tetragrammaton that we spoke about above. Second Chronicles, chapter 29, verse 34. Rak ha-kohanim ha-yulimat v'lo yachlu lehashit et kol ha-olot vayahaskum achechem ha-levim ad gilot ha-mlacha v'yad yitkachu ha-kohanim ki ha-levim yishrei levav v'hitkadesh me-ha-kohanim. I will mention now, because we're going to do it right now, every time in these seven verses that you see the Tetragrammaton, Hashem's name, you do not pronounce it Adonai this one day on Rosh Chodesh. You'll utilize the permutation that we spoke about above. Now, the first verse that we read has 25 words, and we'll take each of the first letters of those 25 words, and that allows us to permute it into eight names of God, the first of which is Hey-yo, Hey-wa, Hey-yo, Hey-wa, Hey-yo, Hey-wa, Hey-yo, Hey-wa. Hey, oh, hey, wah, please stand up and spell this name, say this name, connect to this name. Hey, oh, hey, wah, hey, oh, hey, wah, hey, oh, hey, wah, hey, oh, hey, wah, hey, oh, hey, wah. Hey yo, hey wa, 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 hey yo, hey wa. Hey yo, hey wa, hey yo, hey wa, hey yo, hey wa, dance around. around and be joyful. Hey, why, hey, oh, if you get angry this month, don't forget to be joyful. Hey, oh, hey, why. Hey yo, hey wa, hey yo, hey wa, hey yo, hey wa, la la, hey, wa wa wa, yo la yo, a la me, hey hey hey, a ka a, re ka ha. Isaiah chapter 26 verse 4. Bizu ba hey yo hey wa ba hey yo hey wa hey yo hey wa be hey yo hey wa ade ad ki be ya hey yo hey wa hey yo hey wa hey yo hey wa. Hey yo, hey wa, suro la min. Job chapter 7 verse 19. Kamalo tishemi meni lo tarpeni abili ruki. 1 Samuel chapter 23 verse 23. Uru udu miko amahavo yiyam Asher yidhabe sham wishavtem Eilai el mahom Behalakhti yidhem Wichayayim yishno Varetz vihipasti Oto bekol alfe Yehuda. Job chapter 20 verse 7. Kegelo lanetzach yoved roav yom ruayo. 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 10. Wisamti makom leamili Yisrael untati veshatan. Tach tav v'lo yirgaz, od v'lo yosifu. V'nei avla la'anoto, ka'asher barishona. In the 8th verse of the Anabakoach, we say silently, but for the purposes of teaching, I will say it out loud. Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuto Le'olam Vayet. I'm now going to announce my classes for this coming week, and then I will open the class to questions. Tomorrow, Sunday, the 1st of Tevet, at 10:30 West Coast time, we will continue our classes on the lion as an animal in the Torah or from the Torah. And then again at 1 p.m. West Coast time will be our class on the Hebrew letters. This particular class is a new class I've never really done, which is to explain and connect to the various names of God as well as to the Sefirot. Monday at 4:30 p.m. we will have a mini Zohar class continuing our teachings on section 30 of the Parashah of Bereshit. And then at 7 o'clock, we will have our classes on the teachings of Rabbi Ashlag. Tuesday, there will be no mini Zohar class Tuesday at 4:30, but there will be one at 7 o'clock, and that one will be on the book Tuv Haaretz, the goodness of the land of Israel. Wednesday at 4:30, there will be a mini Zohar class, followed by a class at 7 o'clock West Coast time. That is a question and answer series. Thursday at 4:30, we will have a mini Zohar class, followed by a class at 7 p.m., which is the Zohar on the Parasha of Vayigash. Saturday night, next Motzi Shabbat at 7 p.m., we will have a class on the Zohar from the Parasha of Vayechi. It is the first opportunity you have to make connection to the Zohar in the new energy of that new week. We recommend you do so. Now, I'm opening up the class. Does anybody have any questions? To be heard, you need to press star 6, so hopefully you have some questions. If not, I wish you all Shavuot Tov, Hanukkah Sameach. And Kodesh Tov. Is somebody trying to ask a question? Shalom to all. Have a beautiful week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Kodesh Tov.